And let me give you a little secret here. There are things in people's lives around you you'd like to change. You don't want to change yourself. You want them to change. If she would just do this, if she would just do this, and we always want to change other people. You can't. You can't change anybody. You cannot change anybody. They can only change themselves, and you can only change yourself. So all of that, trying to change your change program doesn't work. But you can pray, and God can change people. You might write this down. Positive praying is more effective than positive thinking.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Habits of Happiness with part two of a message called Grow Healthy Relationships, taken from the book of Philippians. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource that will show you how to find real and lasting happiness based on what God's Word has to say on the subject. It's called The Habits of Happiness DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. You can find out more right now by going to rickwarren.org or by texting the word daily to 313131 while you listen to today's broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
The longer you know someone, number one, you take them, the more you take them for granted. Isn't that true? The longer you know someone, the more you take them for granted. The more you focus on their faults, and the easier it is to remember bad times. I don't know why it is, but it's easier to remember bad times than it is happy times. Paul says, every time I think of you, I give thanks. If you would just develop this habit that whenever you think of the people in your life, your friends, your neighbors, your husband, your wife, your kids, your relatives, whatever, that the first thought is gratitude, it's going to change your relationship. Now, that's a habit you have to develop. It does not come natural. We are not by nature grateful people. We are by nature discontented people. We are by nature always wanting more, wanting things to be different. Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says it again. I thank God. I thank God for the help that you gave me. Now, if you know the story of this church that he started there, there was a woman named Lydia who was a businesswoman who opened up her home. And he says, from the very first day, you welcomed us. And you helped us from the very first day. And then, as I said, several times in Paul's travels, the Philippian church was funding Paul's missionary journeys. And in this particular instance, they had sent a man named Epaphroditus all the way to Rome to bring him a financial gift because Paul was in Rome by himself in prison. And Epaphroditus had nearly died on the way. We'll get to that later in the book. And now Paul is sending him back with this thank you note to the people in Philippi. And he says, I thank God for the help you gave me. I just wonder, what is it that you have forgotten that other people have done for you? Again, the longer you know someone, the more you take them for granted, the more you look for their faults, and the more it's easier to remember the bad things than the good things. See, the truth is about Paul in Philippi, he didn't have a good time in Philippi. In fact, it was one of his roughest churches getting started. But you don't get any of that in this letter. The fact is, when Paul went to this city to start a church, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was humiliated. He was falsely arrested. He was thrown in a prison. He went through an earthquake, and then he was politely asked by the city leaders to leave town. When I thank God for you, I think of you, I thank God for you. What is he doing? He is choosing selective memory. This was not a happy place all the time. It wasn't all sunshine and lollipops and roses and rainbows and My Little Pony. It was a lot of bad stuff had happened. But Paul chose not to dwell on painful memories. Are you still living some painful memories with some people in your life? You've never let them off the hook. And you can't enjoy a relationship because you're still holding on to the past. Would you write this down? Memories are a choice. Memories are a choice. I remember hearing a story one time about two women talking, and one of the wives said to the other wife, said, don't you remember that time when your husband did da-da-da-da-da-da-da? And she said, I distinctly remember forgetting that. That's a choice. Your memories are a choice. Now, if you want to hold on to your painful memories, go right ahead, but you're not going to be happy. Paul had a lot of reasons to have painful memories in Philippi. It was not a happy time for everything that happened there. As I said, beaten, maligned, and all these things. But he says, every time I think of you, I thank God for you. He's choosing to be grateful for the people in his life.
That's Rick Warren with a portion of today's message called Grow Healthy Relationships. It's from our series, The Habits of Happiness. There's so much more coming up, so stay with us. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Now, more than ever, people are yearning for true happiness. In the six-session DVD study kit called The Habits of Happiness, Pastor Rick Warren will teach you exercises for a happy heart and offer biblically-based ways to develop a perspective of contentment. Through this study, you'll learn how to cultivate the transformational habits of gratitude, forgiveness, humility, and contentment. Relieve stress and conflict by staying focused on your God-given purpose. Stop comparing yourself to others. Release the pain of your past hurts and grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus. Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit rickwarren.org to get your copy of this amazing resource. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. Thanks so much for your support. When you contact us, remember to ask for the Habits of Happiness DVD and study kit by Pastor Rick Warren.
Once again, here's Rick.
Memories are a choice. I remember hearing a story one time about two women talking, and one of the wives said to the other wife, said, "Don't you remember that time when your husband did da 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 da?" And she said, "I distinctly remember forgetting that." That's a choice. Your memories are a choice. Now, if you want to hold on to your painful memories, go right ahead, but you're not going to be happy. Paul had a lot of reasons to have painful memories in Philippi. It was not a happy time for everything that happened there. As I said, beaten, maligned, and all these things. But he says, every time I think of you, I thank God for you. He's choosing to be grateful for the people in his life. Now, in this series, I'm going to give you what I call happiness hints. And I'm going to put a little HH next to the next to these happiness hints. And here's the first one I want to give you in the whole series. Remember the best and forget the rest. If you want to be happy, remember the best and forget the rest. Develop selective memory. By the way, September 21 is World Gratitude Day. Did you know that? I want you to go home, make a list of the people in your life, and write down 5 or 10 things you can say, I'm really grateful for these things in their lives. It's the first habit. The attitude of gratitude will transform your relationship. If you're not grateful, you're going to have all kinds of complaining, worrying, all kinds of other things. I've got to be grateful for the people in my life. Number two, the second habit of happiness in relational happiness is this. I need to not only be grateful for the people in my life, I need to pray with joy for the people in my life. I need to pray joyfully. I need to pray with joy for the people in my life. Now, Paul is praying, as we just read this passage, praying for these people. How would you like to have the Apostle Paul praying for you? You think that would help? The guy who wrote much of the New Testament? Wouldn't you like, don't you know those Philippians thought, hey, this is pretty cool. Paul is praying for us. Doesn't it encourage you to know when somebody is praying for you? Yes. Yes, it does. It encourages you. In fact, the thing that keeps me going is your prayers. And when people say, I'm praying for you, Pastor Rick, I take that serious. because it's what I move on. It is that power that I move on. Paul says in verse 4, he says this, I always pray for you. Now, that's part of it, but notice the rest of the verse. And I make my request, when he's praying for you, he says, with a heart full of joy. Now, I want you to just a minute, think of somebody who irritates you. Don't look at them, just think of them. Okay? Maybe somebody you've got a strained relationship with, or they just kind of rub you the wrong way. I have two questions for you. Number one, do you pray for them? Okay, do you pray for it, or do you just complain and grumble and nag and nitpick? If you prayed more, you'd have a lot less to grumble, complain, nag, and nitpick about. So you can decide, does nagging work? No. Does prayer work? Yes. So why do you do more of the thing that doesn't work than does? Paul says, I pray for you. And you need to pray for the people in your life. But then he says, I pray for you, making requests with a heart full of joy. When you do you pray with joy? Now, let me give you a little secret here. There are things in people's lives around you you'd like to change. You don't want to change yourself. You want them to change. If she would just do this, if she would just do that, if he would just do this. And we always want to change other people. You can't. You can't change anybody. You cannot change anybody. They can only change themselves, and you can only change yourself. So all of that trying to change your change program doesn't work. But you can pray, and God can change people. You might write this down. Positive praying is more effective than positive thinking. You know, people read all these books about positive thinking. Well, okay, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm sure I'd rather have you thinking positively than negatively. But all the positive thinking in the world isn't going to change your husband or your wife or your child or your friend or your situation. Positive thinking is not enough. Positive thinking can change you, but it can't change somebody else. But positive prayer can. So positive prayer is more powerful than positive thinking. So I want you to write this down. Here's my little happiness hint. The quickest way to change a bad relationship to a good one, the quickest way, start praying for them. Start praying for them. It'll change you, and it can change them. Start praying for them. You say, well, what do I pray? Well, I would encourage you to pray what Paul prayed. And in verses 9 to 11, we have what Paul prayed. Here's what he says. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, and that you may be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What does he say? Four things you can pray. Write these down. Four things. Pray, and I would say pray these for your kids. Pray these for your friends. Pray these for your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Pray these for your boss. Pray these for me. Anybody you care about. Pray with joy for the people in your life. And you pray these four things. First, pray they will grow in love. Pray that they will grow in love. Paul says that your love will grow more and more. Number two, he says, pray that they will make wise choices. Pray that the people in your life, in your family, in your friends, in your neighbor, pray that they will make wise choices. Verse 9 and 10 says that you will know and fully know and understand how to make the right choices. Third thing to pray for the people in your life, pray they will live with integrity. Pray that they will live with integrity. Paul says, I pray that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. And the fourth thing to pray is pray that they will become like Jesus. Parents, there's your prayer agenda right there. Husbands, wives, Friends, there's your prayer agenda right there. Pray that they will become like Christ. Verse 11, that you will be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Circle the word fruit. What fruit's he talking about there? Well, we call it the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Jesus. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness and faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and self-control. What is that? It's a perfect picture of Jesus. Now, these four things, you can pray them for me any day of the week. Pray that I will grow in love. Pray that I will make wise choices. Pray that I will live with integrity. Pray that I will become more and more like Jesus. You can pray these for yourself. You can pray these for your spouse. And you know what? You can know they will be answered. Why? Because they're in the Bible. This is not a prayer. You go, if it's your will, God. This is God's will. It's in the Bible. So you know God wants to answer that prayer. So the first thing I do, I have to be grateful for the people in my life. And second, I have to pray. And actually pray joyfully. Not with complaining, not with criticism, like, oh God, why can't you get this man and mine in shape? That's not praying joyfully. That's praying whinily, crankily. No, pray joyfully. And here's what you pray. Number three, here's the third habit, Paul says, and it's in the next verse. I must expect the best from people in my life. I must expect the best. Now, these things are so simple for me to teach you, but they are so hard to turn into habits. We don't normally expect the best from the people around us. We expect the worst. We expect them to let us down because we have a track record. Now, he's saying you want to make a habit of believing in people rather than criticizing them. Expect the best. Philippians 1 and verse 6 is the next verse. He says this. I am confident of this, that God, who began a good work in you, will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, circle the word confident. I am confident of this, that God, who began the good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm expecting the best from the people in my life. Now, Paul is a pro at bringing out the best in people. And I want to teach you how to do it right now. There are three things that you do to bring out the best in people. And Paul does all three of them in this verse. He says, here's how I bring out the best in people. Number one, you just write this down. He believed in people. He believed in people. He says, I am confident. And he gave them confidence. Do you give the people in your life confidence or do you tear them down? Do you build them up or do you tear them down? Do you give the people in your life confidence? In the last series, I gave you an illustration about what a good parent does when a child stumbles. Do you remember I said, if a child is running a race and you're at the track watching them run a race at school, and all of a sudden they really mess up and they stumble, and they fall flat on their face, and they embarrass themselves, and you're in the stand as a parent, what do you do? You don't get up and say, oh, I'm so embarrassed, I'm leaving. You know, how pathetic you are. A bad parent would do that. But what does a good parent do? A good parent stands up and yells even more, you can do this. Get up, I believe in you, I know you can do it, come on, get up, I know you can, this is just a minor thing, no, don't worry about it, don't worry about anybody else, just keep on running. That's what God does with you when you stumble. That's what God wants you to do with people in your life when they stumble. That's what it means to be like Jesus. Paul says, I believe in people. I give them confidence. I help them grow. I am confident that what God has started in your life, he's going to continue to do. You see, we all need people to believe in us because it's how we change. You can't change unless somebody believes in you and you believe in yourself. Acceptance always precedes transformation. That's why I always say, you know, don't tell it like it is. Tell it like it could be. Sometimes, you know, I train pastors in preaching. And sometimes pastors say, well, I just tell it like it is. I say, well, okay. But that doesn't change anybody. tell it like it could be is preaching for faith. I could get up here and say, you know, you're all not doing a good job. And I could tell you all the areas you're not doing a good job in. And what would it do? Just make you defensive. It wouldn't change you one bit. And next week you go, oh, let's go back and have Rick whip us some more. Some people actually are spiritual masochists. Oh, pastor, that's such a great sermon. It made me feel so bad. I'm going, what? No, that's not it. Nobody changes by nagging. Doesn't happen in the pulpit or anywhere else. So don't tell it like it is. Tell it like it could be. If I help draw a picture, say, this is what you could become. This is what you could be with God's power in your life. Then you get excited. Paul says, I'm confident. I believe in you. The second thing he did is he gave people vision. And the vision was, you're going to keep growing. God's not going to, what God starts, he finishes. He's not going to leave you halfway out there. He gave people vision. He painted a picture of the future. Now, why is that important? Because study after study after study shows that we tend to live up to the expectations of other people. When people expect the best of you, you tend to do better. When teachers expect the best of their students, they always perform better than teachers who don't expect the best from their students. That has been proven over and over again in studies. That we tend to become what we believe the most important people in our lives think about us. So Paul says, I expect the best from people. I believe in people. I give people vision. And the third thing, this is really important. You write this down from this verse. He was patient with people's progress. I am confident that what God's began in you, he's going to keep on and he's going to carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He was patient with people's progress. Now, why is that so important to your happiness? I'll tell you why. If you insist on perfection in people, you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. Because there's nobody perfect, especially you. And if you're always expecting perfection in people before you can enjoy them, then you're never going to be happy.
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with a closing thought. But just before that, we'd like to remind you that if you'd like a copy of today's broadcast or this entire series, you can simply go to rickwarren.org to get a hold of a copy for yourself or a friend. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional and check out all the other available resources. Now, more than ever, people are yearning for true happiness. In the 6-session DVD study kit called The Habits of Happiness, Pastor Rick Warren will teach you exercises for a happy heart and offer biblically based ways to develop a perspective of contentment. Through this study, you'll learn how to cultivate the transformational habits of gratitude, forgiveness, humility, and contentment. Relieve stress and conflict by staying focused on your God-given purpose. Stop comparing yourself to others. Release the pain of your past hurts and grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus. We'll send it your way as our way of saying thanks for your financial support. Now here's Rick to tell you more.
The other day I got this note on Facebook. It said, Pastor Rick, I've walked down many roads searching for happiness, but nothing is ever as good as it promises to be. And I am frustrated. I just want to be happy. Can you help me? The answer to that question is absolutely I can help you. The Bible teaches us that happiness is not something you look for. Happiness is something you create. Did you hear that? Happiness is a choice. You can be as happy as you choose to be. Now, the first thing you need to understand about happiness is that it's not a goal. It's the result of right thinking, right living, and right acting. If you simply make happiness your goal, you're going to live a very self-centered life, and there's no way you're going to be happy. God will use this study kit just like he used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life. So get this kit today.
When you contact us, remember to ask for the Habits of Happiness DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit rickwarren.org to get your copy of this amazing resource. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. Thank you so much for your support. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.